You're listening to CLNS Radio, home to the original Celtics podcast, Celtics Stuff Live.
This is a CLNSradio.com special edition broadcast.
It is the Celtics postgame show here on CLNS Radio. And we're in the middle of rumor season. And I think I have my co-host here. I'm Nick Gelso. I think I have Ty Ray live with me. Ty, you there? Not quite yet. So anyway, we're waiting on Ty now. And we figured we'd do this show just because, my God, my Twitter handle, my Facebook page, everything is blowing up. With rumors, it's silly season, and, you know, as overseas, more attacks are going on. There's violence and horrible things going on. I think now, if any time, is a good time to get away from the television and just talk some hoops, talk Celtics basketball, talk the rumor mill. And I know Steve Poulpett, for the second night in a row, put water all over our fire as far as all these trade rumors go. But I think it's still fun to discuss, and I still think there's still some juice to it. So I'll give out the call-in number, 347-215-7771. I don't know how long we'll stay on, but we will take calls for those who do want to get on board and talk some Celtics. And I'm not going to hesitate. I'll go right to the call lines, as we already have somebody on board here. And it's 619, area code 619. Ty, is that you?
No, this is Sam, San Diego.
Sam, San Diego. Man, we're waiting on Ty to call in. No rush. You could fill in for him while we're waiting, dude. And I think you probably have heard already, for the second night in a row, Steve Poulpett kind of put water all over the fire of the trade rumors today. Have you seen that just come out?
No, I didn't read that at all. What did it say?
I'm actually just getting to it now, but my phone's been blowing up all day long. And that's Poulpett, obviously, for the second night in a row, has kind of disparaged the trade talks. I'll get to that as soon as I can. But what's your mind? You were down at Summer League for us in Vegas.
Yeah, I only got a chance to catch one game, and Jaylen Brown didn't play so well in that game. This was a Saturday game. Yabusele looked awesome. I mean, he really rolls to that rim hard, and he plays with aggression. I've never seen Solinger play that way with that kind of attitude. So, I know it's Summer League and everybody keeps stressing that, but he sure looks good out there. I mean, we were giving Danny so much crap for that number 16 pick, but I like him a lot. So, but what I wanted to ask you, though, was, hey, with regards to Griffin, I don't see the logic in that. What is – I know these are just rumors, but what would be the logic in Doc trading him? I don't see where the Clippers go from there if they're looking to trade Griffin. I mean, he wants to win now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't – possibly there's more behind the scenes than we even know about in regards to Blake and some of the troubles behind the scenes, possibly. I think also – Griffin is also up for a player option as well. Ty, you're with us now, correct?
That is correct. So,
Ty,
no doubt.
Ray, yeah, jump on. We got Sam from San Diego with us.
Yeah, no doubt. The only way the Celtics are going to do a deal like this is if they can get Griffin long term. So maybe they're working out those details.
But what's the purpose? I mean, what are the Clippers looking to do? I mean, they're looking to trade for parts. I don't see how they get them any closer. And we know Doc doesn't want to rebuild.
Guys, let's face it, and Nick, you're not going to like me for saying this. You know, patience, patience, patience. If Doc had only waited it out in Boston, my friends, because he is stuck in L.A. now, and the Warriors are going to dominate that conference, I believe, for years to come, especially with Chris Paul getting older. What else have they got, guys?
I mean, if they were smart, they would try to get Westbrook themselves if he wants to play in L.A.
I
start over.
Yeah, I think so, too. Maybe the Celtics There's no way. Let me think about this. There's no way I think the Celtics unload their number one pick from the Nets next year and the following year. No way for Blake Griffin. Maybe you unload one, but two, I don't think so. I don't see Danny willing to part with those.
Yeah, and these were just rumors again, but on the Sports Hub, they talked about how that there was a rumor again that those picks would not be involved in the trade for Griffin.
Right.
So these are rumors on rumors.
Rumors, and I actually heard a report late this afternoon from, I believe the guy's name is Don Wolke, who is with the Orange County Register. He said there's no truth to any of these rumors at all, and he reports on the Clippers Weekly. So we'll see. Who knows, right? I don't know what
now,
to believe anymore.
Bulpet is out there putting water on the fire again tonight for the second night in a row, too, as well. Now, don't forget, Bulpet, right before, and I think he's probably one of the more, he is one of the more credible guys in the Boston beat, the Celtics beat. But, you know, the week or two before G trade, Bulpet put water on that as well. So you never know.
You don't
know. Something.
Let's think about this. We saw all the tweets about how Al Horford was going to re-sign with the Hawks. That drove me crazy. Remember?
Right.
And then next thing
immediately
you know,
before. They came from
right.
Woj.
Yeah, they did. And then he turns around and he signs with the Celtics. Honestly, I don't know what to believe. I'm starting to think Twitter is the worst thing ever for sports journalism.
Yeah, well,
hey, guys,
go ahead.
I got one question for you guys, and then I'll drop off. Actually, if you can keep me on the line, it's like, listen. It sounds more and more like Kevin Durant was going to leave Oklahoma City at some point, either this year or next. Had Golden State won the title this year, I don't see how he goes there, but maybe he would. I mean, I didn't think he'd go there even in this situation. So if Golden State had won the title, do we have Kevin Durant in Boston now?
I certainly think there's a greater possibility.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I'm hunting because I just hate to even think that way because it's not what happened. He's not here, and what are you going to do? But, yeah, Ty, I think there's definitely more of a possibility, although they might as well have won. I mean, they're so damn good now adding Durant. Yeah, I don't know if it would have made a difference. It seemed he wanted to go there, Ty.
Yeah, it does seem like he wanted to go there and become the most dominant team in I'm not going to say NBA history. They've only won one title, but my God, you look at the team that won. How many games this year, guys? What, 73?
Yeah.
Yeah, add an MVP. Yes. They should have. Let's be honest. They should have won the NBA Finals. They should have.
I still
can't get over the fact that my hat's off to LeBron James. I hate to say that, but I give him a tip of the cap for what he accomplished. But at the same time, they should have won the NBA title, and it was a choke job. There's no other way to say it. I couldn't believe it. This was not the same Warrior team that won 73 games during the regular season. So I don't know, Sam. That's a good question. I think that certainly Durant would have had an easier time of getting to the NBA. Let's say that the Warriors won the NBA title, and Durant was looking for another place to go. I think heading out east, where it's a lot easier, I think he would have had a good opportunity to go to the NBA Finals out here in Boston. But regardless, let's say the Celtics even added Durant. They're still needing to add other pieces, too. Durant and Horford, I don't think, would have been enough. Just like I don't think Horford and Griffin are enough.
No, but we would still have all of our assets to trade.
Correct.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We'd give nothing up. So. Thanks for taking my call, guys. It's great to hear from both of you talking Celtics. So hope to hear that again soon. I'm looking forward to this year.
Yeah, it's
thanks,
been a while.
And we are too.
Yeah, Nick, you said you're having a lot of fun. the playoffs just ended. You're already enjoying yourself.
I got to be honest, man. It's I have not enjoyed an off season like this probably since 2007, I guess. And if it's any indication, our ratings are through the roof. They always seem to be in the off season, especially in the heat of July trade and draft season. I mean, any of the Celtic shows we're broadcasting are just through the roof right now, and seems to be that way every year. But this year is mayhem, and it's fun, man. Right? You see, we talk about it on Beats and Eats all the time, Ty. Right? You know, you turn on the TV, every channel you turn on, it's what we're seeing right now on NBC. I mean, it's killing and terror and horrible, horrible things. Politics. It's kind of fun just to you know, listen to sports talk, watch the wire, listen to different fantasy moves, and you know, for all we know, nothing's going to happen. You're one to think nothing is going to happen.
It's a nice diversion. I do think something will happen, but I don't think we should be sitting around Twitter waiting for it to happen every day. It's like we're watching a boiling pot every single day. It's kind of crazy. I think there's plenty to talk about without these trade rumors. I think the Summer League has been a blast to watch. Just a lot of fun, although, once again, fans seem to want to ruin it for me for whatever reason, because they live and breathe by every single game.
Oh.
Folks, it's the Summer League. Relax.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Summer League has been incredibly fun this year. I've enjoyed watching Jaylen Brown. I know he was injured. He had one or two bad games, but the last two games he was in his first game were just really – you could see the potential in this kid.
When's the last person the Celtics are?
Athletic.
What's the last person, rather, athlete the Celtics had? Somebody who could just take it to the rim. And he's fearless. Let's get one thing straight here. I've heard comparisons to Jeff Green, and I'm a fan of Jeff Green. I think he's been a solid NBA player. He never became the superstar I wanted him to be. But Jeff Green was never aggressive, ever. Ever.
Even when he was being aggressive, he didn't look aggressive. But go ahead, Jaylen Brown, finish your thought.
Man, he is attacking. It seems like every time he gets the ball, he's got the athleticism to do it. I really believe in this kid, and if he can develop his jump shot, I think the Celtics may. And some people agree with me, by the way. Some NBA scouts agree with me, and some experts agree with me, that he could be the best player in this year's NBA draft. And that's saying something, considering when you have Ben Simmons. So we'll see.
Yeah.
The kid's only 19. I just wish people would get off his back. My God, he had 20 and 9 last night, I think, against the Cavaliers. I don't have the numbers in front of me. The night before, he had 20, and he had almost a double-double again. I think the kid has shown great promise so far. Yes, he struggled from the outside. Let's give him a chance to straighten that out. But let's get off his back. And for all those who put so much stock in the Summer League, I want to say one guy's name, Jared Sullinger. You guys remember back in 2012? Oh, my God, he's the next all-star for the Celtics. And now we're riding him out of town 4 years later.
Right.
So that's how much stock I mean, in summer. Deontay Christmas, he was going to be the next, you know, superstar. And he's an NBA journeyman. Come on.
And getting paid scratch. I mean, nothing.
Yeah.
And that's a great topic to lead into. We do have callers, and we are going to get to you. We're going to go to Miley next. Then Nick, our resident, the guy who works the dials here normally. I'm kind of winging it tonight on my own, but during the regular season, he handles our switchboard. So we'll get to Nick from the Bleed Green group on Boston Celtics Bleed Green on Facebook. But Ty, speaking of Sully, it is kind of peculiar, and Jay King mentioned this on his podcast. Great episode.
What would that be? What?
It is. I know. Here we go. Right. I do this on our show. I get ahead of myself. All right. It is kind of peculiar that Danny would not have re-signed Sullinger. This is how Jay King explained it today. It is kind of peculiar that Danny Ainge would not have re-signed Jared Sullinger for $4.4 million or $4.5 million. Didn't match that salary or beat it, pay him $5 million, continue to have him. We had the option on him, and let him go when we still kind of, the Celtics still kind of need rebounding. I mean, Horford's going to fill in with 7, but you know, he's kind of just replacing Sully's numbers, and the Celtics didn't rebound well last year. And what Jay had mentioned on Twitter and on the Ring Jay's podcast is, and I think I was talking to Sam today, I mentioned this, you take Sully's 4.5, you take Tyler Zeller's, you don't pick up Tyler Zeller's option, you send Yabusele overseas, and you have the $9 million you need to get that extension done with Westbrook.
Could be.
It makes sense. Didn't you find it peculiar when the Celtics did not match that offer or beat that offer on Jared Sullinger?
It just tells me something's in the works, right? They're counting on it. Yeah,
they're counting on it.
By the way, before we get off the Sullinger topic, and I was embarrassed for the comments made by Celtics fans about Sully and his weight.
In social media, it
just bordered on ridiculous. Because let's face it, this guy, yes, he had a weight issue, but at the same time, he came up big in some games. He was part of the rebuild, and I just think he deserved better. Yeah, and I think he deserved better than what he got. I remember his rookie year before he hurt himself. He was having a fantastic rookie year.
Yeah.
And people forget that season, that was KG and Paul's last season.
Right.
That was a tough season to watch. He was one of the bright spots.
And then
spots.
He got injured. Right.
Right.
You know, you're right. And I think there's a new wave of Celtics fans out there that, Ty, you and I in particular, probably we're going to sound like old men, but we have the bit of an issue with, and that's the ones that are kind of – there's always been the cliff jumpers, but now there's a nasty streak in some fans. And I think it's just unnecessary. It takes the class out of a very classy organization.
I agree with you, Nick, and I see it all the time online, especially from the younger fans. And I think, and I'm going to get on a soapbox here, Nick, as a fan of this organization that has won so many NBA titles, that is NBA royalty, as fans, we have a responsibility to uphold that class if we want to be fans of the green. I just feel that way. Call me old fashioned, but I truly believe it. I just don't like some of the nonsense I'm seeing. We're better than that.
Let me put it in perspective before we go to Miley and then Nick. Perspective here. You look at these players like Durant and Horford, who I think has now officially, those papers did clear the league office finally, didn't they? I think. All right.
Yeah,
so,
I'm almost positive.
Yeah. Right. So, you know, you look at these guys who, yes, they have an interest in coming to Boston for Brad Stevens. They have an interest in coming to Boston for, the fact that there's a good core that's being built here, a talented young core. But always what's mentioned there are the fans and the culture and the history. So the fans are as much a part of the organization, or I guess the perception that and maybe I'm taking this a little too far, but the perception that some free agents would have on the organization. I mean, Al Horford flat out, we covered the press conference. He said it. Those games in Boston this year in the first round, that was one of the swing factors for him. And here's the last thing. I know you got want to jump on that, but here's the other thing too, Ty. I think these fans, let's be honest, let's not be naive. They've always been around, only now social media gives them a voice to be able to directly communicate with the athlete and act like jackasses.
I think that's true. And if we probably had social media, could you imagine in the early 2000s, the things that would have been said about Antoine Walker?
Oh, come on. Right. I mean,
Or Delonte West. So about his condition. So you're absolutely right. But I happen to think that Boston fans are the best, if not the best in the country.
And I think good majority of them are.
Yeah, I said this today about Red Sox fans. They packed Fenway even when the Red Sox sucked. Even when the Patriots were not a dynasty like we know them to be.
Right.
They still supported that franchise. Not as much, but they still.
Let's go
Bruins
Celtics.
Fans. Yeah, Bruins fans are terrific. I'll never forget when the Celtics were eliminated by the Cavaliers. You know, the cheering.
Yep.
You know, let's go Celtics. Yeah, the chanting. So what I'm going to say to the younger guys, and it's mostly from the younger guys, it is. Just get some class and be patient and enjoy this amazing organization that is the Boston Celtics. And don't be so knee-jerk with everything. My God, Jaylen Brown had a bad summer league game. Suddenly he's the biggest bust. It's like, are you kidding me? We're smarter than that.
He was a bust on draft night. Fans wanted more. Yeah. He was a bust on draft night.
Like,
let's go. Let's bring Miley in, Ty, and then continue the conversation. How about that? Miley's been waiting patiently. Miley, welcome on the air with Ty Ray, Nick Gelso. Man, what's on your mind? You're one of those guys who wanted a post-game show tonight to call in. We thank you for the loyalty. And what do you got to say?
Well, if we do get Blake Griffin, I'm hoping that Paul Pierce is in the deal.
Oh, well, you know, I think us sentimental fans are all hoping for that. And I think that's stretching the rumor beyond rumor. I talked to Jared Weiss about this earlier in the week, and his opinion, and it's a valued opinion in my opinion, I take Jared's very, very, very seriously, is that Pierce wants to finish his career in his hometown and then sit alongside Doc Rivers on the coaching staff And most likely we're going to see him more on ESPN than anywhere for the next probably season or two.
And he was terrific on there, by the way, during the NBA
Finals.
Oh,
he was. I don't know what class he took. Because Paul, I mean, we both covered him, Ty. I mean, Paul, he's never a poorly spoken guy, but Paul was always a like and an um and an guy. You know, he wasn't, and he was very polished on ESPN during the postseason.
Yeah, very measured in what he said, I thought. And somebody clearly got a hold of him, a consultant or somebody. He worked with a coach.
And I give him all the credit in the world.
Yeah, I think Paul's got a future in that if he continues to work on his game. It's just like working on basketball, working on broadcasting. It does take work, and Paul showed that. So I'm just going to say something here. As a guy who has a Paul Pierce jersey and who is a fan of his since the early 2000s, of course, with one of my Celtics teams made the most amazing run. You know what year I'm talking about, Nick. It's one of my favorite teams of all time.
Of course.
I think it's time for Paul to retire. I think I do not want to see his game fall off a cliff. He deserves to go out better than that. Last year, it bordered on that. Yes, he had a great season with the Wizards. He played well for the Nets. But last year, guys, I felt he was a shell of himself. If he comes back to Boston, the only reason I want him to come back to Boston is to retire, because I don't see him having any time on the floor. I just don't.
Here's the thing with Paul, and Miley, I'll throw it back to you before we move on to Nick. The thing with Pierce is there's a side of me that is, I guess, a realist in saying, first of all, it's never going to happen. Second of all, I agree with Ty. I don't want to see Paul Pierce kind of be I think Dave Cowens might be a good – you know what? Kevin McHale is a good example at the end of his career where he was playing 8 minutes a game and a shell of himself, which is what you would see in Boston. Then there's the sentimental side – of me that says, bring him back. He's the best locker room guy. Put him in the locker room, let him come in. And, you know, during clutch time, like an Eddie, he's not an Eddie House sharpshooter, but an Eddie House type guy. And let him rile up the crowd every time he's in the game. And then I swerve back to the realist side like you, Ty. And I think to myself, then he's just a mascot.
I don't
so you
want
know what?
That. He deserves
better.
He
deserves
than
more
that.
Than that. I don't know if anyone noticed, but the avatar, the media player for tonight's show is that picture Bleacher Report posted of Horford, Griffin, and Isaiah, and they have Blake obviously in 34. Well, I cut off the bottom of that picture because nobody's wearing 34 in Boston but Paul Pierce. Miley, what else is on your mind, buddy?
Well, I was going to say, what do you guys think about the rumors in the summer league?
I mean, it's been full of rumors. You got to clarify that, buddy.
Like, I mean, rumors about Russell Westbrook.
I don't want him here. I know I'm crazy. Nick, you and I have talked about this at length. I love Isaiah Thomas. I love what he does, not just on the court. I love what he does for the community. I love the PR he does for the Celtics. Russell is such a volatile guy, no questioning his talent. I do not want to mess with this franchise's chemistry right now. I just don't. You guys there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here. I was screening a call, buddy. I'm sorry.
No. I was talking about how you and I had discussions about how Russell Westbrook acquiring him. I don't want Isaiah Thomas to lose his role on this team. I think he's earned it. I think he's been a big part of this Boston Celtics resurgence. He was a big part of getting Al Horford here. I do not want to mess the chemistry of this team up. I'm not saying Russell Westbrook is a bad guy. I don't know. He seems like a decent fellow. But I really like this core group of individuals we have as a team. And I'm a big character guy, huge character guy. And I like everybody on this team. I like how everybody is into the system. I don't want any wild cards. I don't know enough about Russell Westbrook to know if I want him involved with the Celtics or not. I just don't know.
Yeah, here's the thing for me. I think Westbrook and Isaiah Thomas can exist well. I don't know if their personalities will allow them to exactly, but they can definitely both play off the ball, and Westbrook can definitely distribute the ball. We know that. Westbrook's shooting is kind of suspect for me, but at times Isaiah's is as well. So I'm all into – obviously, I'm talking about bringing Paul Pierce back as a cheerleader. I'm all in for sentimentality, but at the same time, there's a side of me that says we've got to – the Celtics have got to make a move. They got to make a move now, and we can't be concerned with – ridiculous at this point, because when Doc Rivers, when Danny Ainge signed Al Horford, he started working with the window again. Like we did, we talked about the window,
right.
How many seasons on this
right.
network, Ty.
Sure.
You know, and there's a point where he has got to make good now. He cannot, my opinion, he cannot build and take risks through the draft, because you look at a guy like Marcus Smart, he's now on year 3 or 4. He's not even on the tip of what he can do. We've not yet seen a bit of him. He's a guy that I think you and I are both disgusted with. But you run that risk again next year, even in a stacked draft. We talked about the Marcus Smart's draft being pretty stacked.
Right. You never know what you're going to get,
Nick,
in an NBA. Let's say the Celtics even get the second pick next year, the first pick. You never know what you can get. Let me tell you a story, and I haven't told this in a while, but I was there lottery night when the ping pong balls bounced during the LeBron draft.
Yeah. Yes,
right?
You were. Covering.
Okay, I was there. I was there,
yep.
Okay?
Yep.
And the ping pong balls, had they bounced a certain way, the Nuggets would
yep.
have taken Darko Milicic and not Carmelo
Think about
Anthony.
That. Think about that.
Okay, now granted, Carmelo didn't end up winning a title with the Nuggets, but he certainly, I think they played in the Western Conference Finals and made the playoffs.
Relevant.
Yeah, he
yep.
made them
yep.
relevant again because they were
yep.
horrible. So
yep.
let's think if the Nuggets had selected Darko Milicic at that time, which Kiki Vandeweghe, the GM at the time for the Nuggets, told me they would have. They
right.
would have.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Told
they'd
they
still
would've.
Be in the dark
yep.
ages.
Yep.
So
think about
there
that.
Are no
and that's one thing. That's a Sam Bowie. That's one thing you just get over in a decade. That
well,
dark
Chris
pick.
Washburn with the Warriors. You
yeah,
can go on and on.
Go.
History is
mm-hmm.
full of top draft choices that just didn't pan out. So there are no guarantees. And Nick, and you and I have talked about this before. If you can trade a draft pick for an already bona fide star, you do it.
I think so. I agree with you 100%. I think fans have put too much stock, too much protection over those draft picks. Miley, thanks so much for the call. We're going to move on to our next caller. You're listening to Ty Ray, Nick Gelso, co-owner of CLNS Radio, taking your calls tonight on the Celtics postgame show feed on CLNS Radio, the leading online provider of audiovisual coverage of the Boston Celtics. Our next caller is Nick. Nick is a member of the staff here, and then we're going to go to Mad Dog. But I have to throw Nick a big thank you. And Ty, I don't know if you've noticed, but he has been exceptional in posting highlights in his Facebook,
no.
the Bleed Green Group, man.
No, Nick is the man. He works very hard, and he
very
is
hard.
A committed fan. Gotta love it. Love the enthusiasm, Nick. Keep it up. We need you.
I work very hard holding my hands steady with the iPad while I record
oh, well,
the highlights.
I got to jump in there because that's the trick. Last night I tried it. And I
yeah,
returned
not that easy, is it?
The Danny Ainge press conference, but I was doing it with my – not press conference, the Danny Ainge interview
yeah.
with John Barry. I got the whole thing. It took me the first minute and a half to stop. Now, my hands shake naturally, but it took me a first minute and a half for my hands to stop shaking. It's the iPad. I got to get the iPad out because I have the pedestal
Definitely.
For it. That's the trick.
Definitely.
No, Nick,
well,
thank you,
well,
man.
The bad thing about it is that Facebook does its own, like, whatever it is, reprocessing or something, so
yeah.
it never comes
yeah.
out with the right, you know, with the right,
right.
Fidelity or whatever
right.
it is. I don't know what the
right.
term is in audio and visual, but never comes out with the same type of quality. So, but at least people, you can see at least, you know, the stick figures in green and what the, you know, the general play that
yep.
occurs. So it's
yep.
decent. It's good for people that, you know, are at work or don't have, you know, access to the game for whatever reason. We have a lot of fans in my group, in the Bleed Green group, from overseas. I think you know that I used to call in from Peru. So
sure.
We have, you know, people that just either can't watch the game or the game comes on too early or too late. And,
yep.
you know, the Summer League doesn't get as much coverage, although I think it's been getting more
it's
and it's going to keep
year.
Getting more. So having those things out there, that's pretty cool. But, I mean, you know, just give people something to look at. But anyways, back to the, what you guys were saying about Ainge and about the draft
yeah.
picks.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask a very simple question, and it's a rhetorical question, so I don't necessarily need a response. But what was the last star player that Danny Ainge drafted? And I understand he hasn't had lottery picks all you know
no.
throughout his career.
No.
But who was the last? But he has had some reasonable picks. Who was the last star player that Danny Ainge drafted? Who was the last starter that Danny Ainge drafted? Does he even have any starters on this team? I think Avery Bradley.
Avery Bradley.
Yeah. But look, Jared Sullinger drafted, started, kicked out the door. You know what I mean? Marcus Smart was sitting there, like, discussing, is Marcus Smart? I mean, last year everyone was talking Marcus Smart is the future of the franchise. Now we're wanting to throw him into every single trade he possibly can.
I didn't say that. In fact, Marcus Smart, don't get me going here. This is a different topic. I'll tell you, if I keep seeing the development of Mr. Rozier.
I'll tell you what. And he's fun to watch. He's smart.
Smart, athletic. His shot's getting better. He's improving defensively. I'm sorry. I want that kid on the floor if he keeps playing the way he does.
Absolutely. Agreed. And I think that he's incredibly fast. You can't catch him from behind. A hard push guy just like Isaiah Thomas. And if he's going to be our backup point guard now that Evan Turner found, you know, the big bucks out there in Portland, as big of a fan of Evan Turner as I was, I know that Danny wasn't going to give him $18 million per year. That never happening. But Rozier, he is incredibly fast. And this is the thing. Everybody wanted, or a lot of people wanted, you know, either Buddy Hield. A lot of people wanted Chris Dunn. Rozier is basically Chris Dunn 1.0, and Dunn is basically Rozier 2.0, because Rozier's doing what Dunn basically would expect Dunn to do, and Rozier's already doing it, so why would we even need Dunn?
Right.
I mean, I wasn't biggest Jaylen Brown guy, but Dunn was redundant, and so was, I think, you know, Hield to an extent, and Murray as well.
No, it makes perfect sense why they took Jaylen Brown. I love the pick. I was shocked by the pick, I'll be honest, but the more I read about it, the more I read about him, the more I read about his skill set, and I did see him play in the Pac-12 because I went to Washington State, so unfortunately I get to watch Cougar games. They're god-awful. I got to see Jaylen Brown play, and I actually, believe it or not, guys, wanted Marquise Chris because he plays just right up the road for me at University of Washington, but we didn't get him. But I was thrilled with this pick, and I really think people should not give up on him. And the comparisons to Jeff Green are just dead wrong. I mean, what is the last player for the Celtics who would drive it to the hoop and get to the foul line consistently? Who?
Well, the Summer League also, I think, has a different foul system. They have 10 fouls a game, so they're going to call them more.
But, Nick, no question about that. But who is the last Celtic player that really had the ability to challenge like Jaylen Brown does, who had the athleticism to do that?
I agree. I like to pick myself.
Here's something ironic, is that Danny Ainge drafted Jeff Green. And
he did.
On draft night 2007, I could be wrong, so John Duke, if you're listening, don't yell at me. But I believe John Duke was livid that we traded Jeff Green for Ray Allen.
Correct. Now that you're absolutely right about that, Nick. And while people like to bash Jeff Green, people like to bash Jeff Green. The guy went through heart surgery. People, we forget all of this, and still has managed to be an effective NBA player. He never turned out to be the superstar I think many of us thought he would be. I think he's been more than a serviceable NBA player on any given night. Well, not recently, but there were some nights in TD where he went off, and it was a hell of a lot of fun to watch. I remember there was a game, I think, at the Garden, guys, if you remember this, was it 2012 when it was Green against LeBron, and they went mano a mano. I think Green had over 40 points. LeBron had 50.
That was the enigma and the frustration behind Jeff Green, the player, because the very next night he went out and put out a donut.
Yeah, you know
what I'm saying? You know, so Nick, before we move on, because we do have more callers and we're holding this to 60 minutes, before we move on, tell us your thoughts on the trade rumors. And before you do, I just want to clarify, opening the show, I mentioned Bullpet, you know, dousing water on the flames here. From what I could see, and Ty, check it out on the Herald. This is the exact same. It's almost as if they reposted the article from last night, word for word, that Bullpet posted last night, which was very good. It put water on the fire. But to me, it is there's even that paragraph, Ty, for those into analytics. And I love this. This is what I love about Bullpet. I can state that approximately 25% of my time is spent hearing really cool stories that involve the Celtics, with 75% of my time devoted to tracking down how much, if any, truth there is to the 25%. That was in last night's column. I'm certain this is the exact same column.
Sure.
They just re-released it.
Because I remember reading that as well. And like I said earlier in the show, Nick, the guy from the Orange County Register, I think it's Dan, or is it Don Wokey? I can't remember the fellow's name. It was on Twitter.
Yeah.
He said that he talked to a source in the Clippers organization that said this is just, there's nothing there.
Yeah, but right now, what are the Clippers going to say right now? And again, if you listen to, again, like I said, putting stock in Jared and I were talking, I think, Ty, you and I were talking about the very same thing. Danny is the king of planting his own rumors. He's the king of putting out decoys. He's the, you know, so right now he could be pumping up Blake to drop the value or to get Westbrook to sign that extension or to agree to the extension. And it could be vice versa. He could be pumping up Westbrook. I don't think that's the case because we know Ainge loves Westbrook, but he could be pumping up Westbrook to get to lure Doc into a trap. You just can't put anything behind or beyond Danny Ainge. So, Nick, what's your closing thoughts here on these trade rumors before we move on to the Mad Dog?
Well, I think that, you know, to bring it full circle, I'd like to see Ainge trade some of the picks, overtaking some of the picks, because no. Just in general, I'd rather take a known commodity over
exactly.
You know, the potential,
right.
Just as a general principle, but I also just don't necessarily think that I like Danny Ainge's history. I don't think that he's a horrible drafter because he hasn't had those high picks throughout, you know, most of his time. He had all those years with Pierce and Garnett where they just weren't getting, you know, very high picks, but I just
That's
don't think
exactly
that he's that
right.
fantastic
That's
of a drafter.
I didn't want to get into it, but exactly what my rebuttal to you was how many times did he have an opportunity at, you know, a
right.
ten
yeah.
with the exception of Marcus Smart. He did,
but then
he
you
had
to go. You can look at all
assets.
Those drafts. And
he did pretty damn good building up all those assets in order to get Kevin Garnett. So you can look at it in the. I'd rather take Garnett and get the championship than have picked whomever he picked above.
Right, Big Al.
The pick
Big Al was a good
yeah,
pick, right?
Big Al. Well, I don't think he pick Big Al.
Yes.
He
yes,
did.
He
okay,
did.
So Big Al was a great pick. So I think it's unfair. It's right. And well, and so did all those pieces, all those assets.
Well, Jeff
that
Green
he had.
Helped to acquire
Jeff
Ray
Green
Allen.
Helped
but Jeff...
get him get Ray Allen. So the point is, I get yeah.
But
I know
those
what
are
saying,
showing you
Nick.
That he's better at trading than he is at drafting.
I agree
that's
that
what I'm
he
saying.
Is.
Like,
I agree.
Yeah,
that
I don't
is.
Think I'm not saying that he's a bad drafter. I think he's just better at trading. I think that
I agree
there
with
can't
you.
Be a disagreement that Danny Ainge is better no. at acquiring great players through trades, as he's done, like
you.
He did in 2007, than he is scouting talent. And that's not a bash on any of the talent. I think he has a good
no.
crop of talent this year. I like most of the players. I don't know anything about Zizic, but I like Jaylen Brown. I really like Yabu since the pick
I like
was
him
shown.
Too.
I
like him
really
too.
Like what he does. A guy that size with that type of footwork is absolutely fantastic. But just to, you know, get my last finishing thoughts, OKC, I don't like the trade for Westbrook because without a guarantee, you're giving away these picks for nothing. And
he
I think
that
he's an L.A. guy. He knows the money is coming next offseason when the salary cap jumps again. So, I mean, I just, you know, I think he probably wants to hit the free agency. Blake Griffin, I mean, Horford is already talking about he doesn't want to play center. He wants to play
That's
the
right.
four. And then we
That's
get
right.
Blake Griffin coming in here. I mean, I don't know. I think
but,
I definitely agree with Danny Ainge boosting up the value of his own assets by talking all this trade, that if he can make it look like, you know, the L.A. Clippers are considering making a trade for, you know, A.B. and whoever else, plus one of the picks or plus some of the picks, he can make those assets look more valuable than they actually are because they've been considered in the trade, and now it's popped up on
well, that's,
ESPN.
That's,
they have Bob
the
Ryan on
that.
There talking about it today
and
everybody
yeah,
else.
He's the king of that, but there's also the fear of dealing with Danny, you're going to get duped, and I know Doc has gotten duped before, so I think that, you know, so here's the thing, and I don't know if it's even possible, but I have two thoughts on that as we let you go. Number one, Westbrook will think KG. Westbrook, Ainge will not sign Westbrook unless he has a guarantee on a re-sign of the contract. That's what he did with Garnett. It's what he did with Garnett. So it's the same scenario. Maybe that's what's holding it up. Now, on the other side, my other point to throw out at this, we don't know. I don't even know if it's possible. I'm not, you know, a stats or analytics as far as the salary cap goes and trade restrictions and all that go. But who knows? Maybe they're saying that Doc wants to get rid of Chris Paul and Blake Griffin. How do we know there's not a deal being worked out where Westbrook goes to L.A., the Clippers,
right.
the Celtics pick up Blake Griffin, and possibly there's a third team with for Chris Paul, or Chris Paul comes along with them. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I'm not saying it's going to happen. You know,
I guess on Twitter in a couple minutes. It's already on Twitter. I'm looking at my feed now.
Source. There it is. But here's the thing. I have no source, but I kept my mouth shut with the Sully thing. And Jay King, when I heard that today, I thought, damn, I didn't think it as well thought out and as genius as Jay could do it. But I had that thought out in my head, and I said, tonight if I go on air, I'm not shutting up on this. Doc, if he dishes Griffin, it's said that he wants to dish Chris Paul. Russell Westbrook wants to go to L.A. Everybody's assuming the Lakers. Why not go to the Clippers where he could contend? The Celtics somehow in return get Griffin and Paul, and there's picks involved somewhere, and somehow I'm just throwing shit out there, but somehow everybody's happy. Everybody's thinking, and then you got a storyline to die for on the West Coast when you got Westbrook and Durant playing in the same state against each other.
But do the Clippers actually contend without Blake Griffin and Chris Paul? The insertion of Russell Westbrook.
Who else is packaged in that trade? It wouldn't work. The Celtics wouldn't be involved in it if the Clippers and the Thunder can make the trade straight up. If that were the case, the Celtics would have to be sending something somewhere. Doc Rivers, we all know he's afraid of draft picks. You want to talk about bad drafting? He can't even play. We talk about it all the time. He can't even play young players.
Nope.
Except his son.
All right. Nick, you can go ahead and start that rumor. And just call me an unnamed source on that.
All righty. Definitely unnamed source.
There you go. Thanks, Nick. Good call. And we're looking forward to this year getting you behind the switchboard again. And that's Nick Sesento from the Facebook group, Boston Celtics Bleed Green. I think he was just saying something. I cut him off. Bring him back. Nick, did I cut you off, Nick?
Abdul Nader over James Young, please. Abdul Nader.
I think James Young is done, guys.
Done.
Don't you think so?
Dunzo. Danny Albert said it last night.
You can't see the floor in a summer league game?
I mean, come on. I mean, this is ridiculous. See you, Nick. Ty, I'm going to put the Mad Dog live, and I'm going to screen a call, so I'll be right back, all right?
Are we going to talk about tanking?
No, but I think what you could do is talk about Guns N' Roses because we had such a great topic on Beats and Eats about it. That was actually really good. So, bring Mad Dog on. I'll be right back.
Mad Dog, you there?
Hey, what's going on, Ty?
Hey, not much. What's going on, my friend?
Not too much. Just a quick thing about Guns N' Roses. I'll be going on Tuesday night in Foxborough.
That's awesome. You got to be happy with the way Axl's sounding.
Oh yes, definitely. After seeing the 2011, 2012 version of them, the Rock and Rio and the Bridge show. If anybody doesn't know what I'm talking about, look up those two shows. You sounded just it was quite the embarrassment. But about the Celtics, yes, I'm along the lines of making a deal with these picks, but not making a deal that you're going to get screwed on, which I don't think Danny's going to do. Now, it's very interesting. I don't know if you saw the Chris Mannix tweet, but he said that Jimmy Butler's back in the field and there's really nothing going on with Griffin right now. So I don't know what is really going on here.
When did Mannix tweet that out?
All right, I'm back. Are we talking about Duke? Are we talking about Duke? Guns N' Roses are tanking.
None of the above.
None of the above.
About Chris, a tweet from Chris Mannix that says Butler's back in play.
I don't know if it's a tweet. Igor put something up, I believe.
Oh, wow. That could be 6 weeks old. Come on. I love Igor, but come on. Mad Dog, you can go. Ty, next thing you know, Mad Dog's going to be tweeting out about Chris Paul, Russell Westbrook, and Blake Griffin. Gelso said it. He's got it from a source.
Now we've Mad Dog. Igor is a source now. I love it.
It's been a crazy off season, man. What's on your mind?
Not much, but no tanking, no Duke, and no guns. I just told Ty that I'm going Tuesday night, so I'm awfully excited about that. But
great.
But this is really the silly season, as they call it now. There's Blake Griffin rumors. There's Russell Westbrook rumors. Conflicting reports.
Butler again.
You saw Steve Volpett.
Yep.
Basically shut down everything.
Yeah, but
so,
again, Mad Dog, I just said I just read the whole article while we were on the air, and it's the exact same post reposted from last night. It's the exact same album. Now here, Volpett is allowed because he's so credible to just repost the same column and say, I told you so. Don't make me type it all out again, Ty. I could see him doing that, you know?
No,
it is the same column.
Okay. So maybe there is something to this, but here's the thing in that I just heard Nick's call in that these Brooklyn picks, if you look at that Brooklyn roster, you can pretty much tell that they're going to be the worst team in the league next year, or one of them.
Bottom three roster
is one of the worst that I've seen of an NBA roster in a very long time.
They're going to be in the same position, if not a little bit worse than this year.
Yeah, so you're talking probably in the 1-3 range again.
Same thing,
but
in a better draft.
In a much better draft, yes.
Well, and Mad Dog, you're a college guy, Mad Dog. Don't prolong this. We don't have all night. But tell us a little bit about this year's draft and what makes it so deep. That's a 2017 draft.
Well, you have the small forward that's going to Kansas, and Josh Jackson. He's viewed as one of the blue chips of this draft. You have Harry Giles that's going to Duke, who has some injury concerns. He already has torn an ACL in each knee, and he's not even in college yet. So that's going to be a big thing at Duke. And then you have other guys like Markel Fultz, Jason Tatum. There's a lot of guards draft. It's just overall all deeper with frontline talent. However,
right.
I would still like to if one of these deals comes in. And let me ask you guys this because I was listening.
Wait, I want to ask you. Keep that thought. I want to ask you another question. Deep. So deep 1-6 with star type, all star type caliber potential.
Yes, I would say I would say I never like to go 1-6. I would say 1-4, 1-5.
Okay, so it's 2 or 3. It's like the Marcus Smart draft, I would say.
Yes. And the guy that everybody's eyeing right now is Josh Jackson, the small forward that's going to Kansas. Harry Giles, like I said, he is a concern because of his chronic knee issues. He's going to have to prove that he's healthy, but he could jump Josh Jackson. You have Markel Fultz, the guard that's going to Washington. So you'll get to see him this year. He'll be definitely in the discussion for that pick. But it's going to be a deeper draft. And Evan Daniels said that it was the deepest high school class that he's covered. So this is a really good draft. But I
trade the picks.
I was listening to WEEI today.
Oh,
and
shame on you. No, I'm just kidding. Who are you listening to, the Big O?
Yes, I was.
I love the Big O. And I agree with Ordway 100% in everything that he's been saying.
Okay.
I really do.
So what he was saying today about the Westbrook and Griffin rumors is that, and I agree with him. Okay, so you make this
too.
Deal. You make this deal and you take the risk versus keeping these picks. You're going to win between 47 and 52 games, but then you're just going back into the draft where there's no certainty whatsoever. So why not take a risk on Blake Griffin or Russell Westbrook or some other star player and have them play a year here, get used to it here, and you will have the financial the financial part on your side next offseason, because the Celtics will be able to offer them the most money. And I also agree with his other point, is that what chance are you going to give the Celtics to land these guys in free agency? I don't put it at very high.
Oh. Say that again. It broke up, Mad Dog. Say it again.
Okay. So essentially what I was agreeing with him on is that if you keep the picks, you're going into the unknown world with these kids. If you make the trade and get a Westbrook or Griffin or another star player here, you have something certain. You will have the financial part on your side, because you're
okay. I got you now. Let me first of all, I agree 100% with Ordway. I listened to majority of what he said today. I love the Big O. I agreed with him, and I think he's right. And I also think star players, and I want to get Ty's take on this, star players are like dominoes, and once one or two come, great role players start coming, and everybody kind of wants to start to play there. So you bring in a guy like Westbrook, this is saying that Danny Ainge doesn't even force the issue, which that's my take. My take is right now it's all about getting an agreement with Westbrook or Griffin to re-up next year. You know, like he did with KG. Let's say he doesn't do that, but you bring them in on a risk, on a rental. By the time next year rolls around, the Celtics will have already been Eastern Conference contenders. They will already have a money left on the cap for next year, and they will have an opportunity to sign quality James Posey-like players that why would they want to leave? You know, and plus you have Brad Stevens, you have Boston, you have the fans, you have the Garden, you have the culture, you have the history, you have the legacy you're building. Why would they want to leave? I 100% agree with Ordway. Ty, what do you think?
I just wanted to bring up, I don't want to call it breaking news, but we were talking about Chris Mannix, and while you and Mad Doc were conversing, I was checking that out. And Mannix from Yahoo Sports does shoot down the Blake Griffin report of a trade. However, he says something major could happen this weekend. Jimmy Butler possibly in the mix.
Wow. Mannix is credible, man. Well, but so
absolutely
is Devaney. And Devaney is from Sporting News is extremely credible. And he reported today on the Griffin situation. But if Griffin is out, that must mean Westbrook is in. Now, I have people in Philadelphia who are telling me Okafor is still in the discussions.
Here's what it says. So apparently Mannix, Butler, Okafor, others still on the table. Griffin, Westbrook are out.
See, there you go. Could be Okafor. So who did he say in addition to Okafor? Butler?
Butler, correct. And I got to tell you, if I'm Jimmy Butler, no offense, Rajon Rondo, Chicago's a mess. I want the hell out of there.
Oh, God, I'm out of there. I'm out of there. Thank Mad Dog for the call, by the way.
By mid-season, that the rats are going to be leaving the ship. That franchise.
That's a mess. Well, let's get to that in a second. You know I love to trash on Rondo. First, I want to thank Mad Dog for calling in. Dude, we appreciate the call. Area code 310, we see you in the queue. We'll be getting to you momentarily. You're listening to Celtics Trade Rumor Show on the CLNS Radio Celtics Postgame Show feed. You could call toll free 347-215-7771. CLNS Radio, the leading online provider of audio visual coverage for the Boston Celtics. I'm Nick Gelso, CLNS underscore Nick. He's Ty Ray at Coug88. Ty, it is going to be a dumpster fire in Chicago, and I can't wait till it burns. If I were Butler,
I'm with you.
I
just thought the whole Rondo signing was a head scratcher. I know he had a comeback year. Everybody says it. I thought it was a year of empty stats. He had some great highlights, but I just don't see it happening in Chicago. And the fact that people were telling me he's not a max player anymore. I'm sorry. And I don't want a Rondo bash. Guy makes for great highlights, but his best days, I believe, are behind him. So if I'm Jimmy Butler, what is Chicago going to do? You're going to spend your youth playing on a loser? Come on.
Yeah.
I'd want out of there. I'd want to play for a contender. The guy's a star. He wants to play for a contender. What do the Bulls need? They need a future deal, some assets. Get Jimmy Butler and Green.
Let's continue with that. We're running out of time here, but let's run into our last caller here. Area code 310-310. You're live with Ty Ray, Nick Chelso, CLNS Radio. What's going on?
How's it going, guys? It's Tom. Not too much. Just
hey, Tom.
Some traffic. Glad I call in.
Hey, cool.
Tom, what's going on, man? What's on your mind with all these rumors? I mean, Ty's now just picking up on Chris Mannix, who says the Westbrook-Griffin deal is dead, but Jimmy Butler and Okafor are suddenly back on the table. What's on your mind?
Butler would be exciting. I think we're in a spot that's pretty exciting in the sense that I think there are very few teams out there that actually have the young assets that wouldn't have to completely gut their team in order to bring in a player of a Westbrook caliber. So, I mean, if you look at us against, let's say, other teams that are going to be searching out a star with the expectation they can actually keep them, the Lakers might be able to beat our offer, but they'd have to gut their team, right? If they want to throw a D'Angelo Russell, a Brandon Ingram offer out there, I think
what team?
Any team will have a hard. I think any team will have a hard time beating that in terms of young assets. But what that means, it's going to be Mozgov and whoever comes to that. So it doesn't matter. I think a nice package that we have. I think that a nice package we have of just. I would imagine if you want to go Westbrook, right? I mean, I haven't heard the packages yet, but I have to imagine it has to be the starting point's going to have to be something like Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, and the Nets first round pick. Butler, I don't think Butler would come at the same price. I mean, I would consider giving up the same package for him, but I think I don't know if you'd have to give up quite as much. Okafor does not excite me too much. I don't entirely see how he fits into the Brad Stevens offense. I think he's an undervalued asset, but we'd have to get him at that undervalued asset price, right? So I certainly wouldn't give up a Brooklyn pick for him. I just don't see how that guy helps the team that much, especially with Horford. So I hope the Okafor rumor is smoke, unless we're talking about flipping just like James Young and Block, which is not going to happen, right?
James
so I mean,
Young.
James Young.
throwing a few duffel bags.
So I mean, I don't know if I want to give up anything for Okafor. He just doesn't make sense with the team at this point.
Tom, I got to ask you though, why are you so down on him? He played in a horrible situation last year. That team was so undisciplined. You think about Michael Carter-Williams. He's breathing a sigh of relief. He got out of that nonsense in Philadelphia. I think Okafor's got a wealth of potential, especially playing under Brad Stevens, what he could be taught in this system. I think he'd be worth rolling the dice on.
Do you like Okafor? You like Okafor?
To me, you guys,
I do.
It isn't what I think is really oversaid too often is that X center doesn't fit in with the modern NBA, because I think if you eliminated the Warriors from the equation, centers would all of a sudden become somewhat valuable again.
I agree. I totally agree.
But that being said, I think what my main issue with Okafor is that I think he's still a player that lacks versatility, which whether we like it or not, if we want to win a title, versatility is going to be the key. And you have to sacrifice too much for Okafor, right? He's not necessarily a strong pick and roll player. He's a true old school back to the basket guy.
But
he can't protect the rim, can't stretch the floor. If the guy could protect the rim, it would be a different story. But the fact is, he's a liability on D, and he doesn't provide the versatility on offense. I'm not saying if I guarantee you dump the ball into that guy 20 times a game, he'll average 27 points because he's an excellent low-post player. But what do you have to sacrifice in terms of – you have to put out a perfect lineup around him. I think we're somewhat capable of doing that more than other players, but
– He's so young, Tom. He's so young.
I know. He's an asset. He's an asset, but I don't want to sacrifice what we have to accommodate someone who can't tell me Okafor puts us over the top, and we don't need someone who's so young and develops. We need someone who's ready to play now because we're ready to win now.
Sure. But I also want players that can grow with the team and be with us for years and have a long window too. So that's the other thing I'm looking at too. That's why I'm worried. What's that? Go ahead.
I just think his, and this may be selling him short, but I also think it might not be. His ceiling to me is a slightly better Al Jefferson. And I don't say that in a demeaning way. I just say that in like, how valuable is that player in this NBA?
He gets you Kevin Garnett.
I don't think it's...
Exactly.
Yeah, we just there we go. If you want, if we
just said a player like that will get you a Kevin Garnett.
Anthony Davis for him, then sure.
Yeah, okay, exactly.
Him into Anthony Davis or something like that in 2 years.
Hey, by the way, guys, Manic says a deal could go down this weekend. I just want to throw that out, too.
Great, right? You know, I'm hosting Celtics Beat. I'm hosting Celtics Beat this weekend, Ty. I'm also hosting a beach party in Atlantic City. I don't know how the hell I'm going to do all this. How is all this going to happen? I might be hosting Celtics Beat from the beach in Atlantic City at the beach party for the 80s Rewind Cruise. Ty, how am I going to pull it all together?
You'll make it happen, my friend.
Yeah,
you're multi-skilled.
You're going to help me.
You're multi-skilled. So,
hey, Tom. Yeah, Tom, you want to stick with Tom for a bit, Ty?
Yeah, we've been talking a lot about the same things, which makes sense because we've been doing this show because of the Blake Griffin rumors that have come out in the last few days. And, of course, Mannix just shot them down, who's a very credible source. But I just wanted to bring up some other things, guys, on a smaller scale that haven't been discussed on the show. First of all, Danny was savage for the drafting of Yabusele, and I've been nothing but impressed with this kid in summer league. I think he may make the roster, guys. What do you think?
I think if the salary isn't needed for a trade, yeah. Otherwise, I think he's going to be a go ahead.
Yeah, well, people are like, oh, he's just another Jared Sullinger. This guy has more moves than Sully ever.
Yeah, I mean, and he's way more agile. For his size, the guy moves.
Oh, he's got great footwork. He can shoot. Yeah. I'm actually looking forward to this guy developing. Yeah.
I think he's going to make the team for sure, simply based off the fact we have to make some moves. I can't imagine we can go into the season with all of these guys. I mean, some move is going to get made. So either he's on another team or he makes ours.
Well, let me ask you this, Tom, that if Jalen Brown is in the rotation and Yabusele's able to get into the rotation, you got to call that a draft a success then, right?
You know what? I think for sure. I think that everyone was piling on us for not getting anything for the third round pick. But at the end of the day, I think hopefully we're able to look back and say Ainge was smart. Because the issue with that third pick in this particular draft was that the difference between the third pick and the seventh pick, you know, toss a pair of dice in the sky, land it on whatever it is, and pick any of those players, and they all basically, after Ingram and Simmons, had the same percent chance to become a good NBA player. I think that third pick was undervalued to the point that Ainge probably sat there and said, look, we believe this guy is going to be a good player. We don't know if he's going to be on the team in 2 years, but let's turn this asset that's undervalued into an asset that at the very least can become something that we trade.
Well put.
I have to imagine there wasn't a lot being offered for that third pick.
I don't think so either. And I think basically Ainge drafted for need. Why did the Celtics need another guard? I got so sick and tired of hearing that on Twitter. Let's not get another one. Speaking of guards, Terry Rozier, Nick and I were talking about
this earlier.
Love how he's developed in just a year's time. You look at him in the summer league last year. Now I know it's only the summer league, but look at him in the summer league this year. Absolutely. He's getting quality minutes against the Hawks. So I got to tell you guys, Nick, you and I have been doubting Marcus Smart. Perhaps he's on his way out of town in a trade.
Oh, I think that's a definitive possibility. And last night I was watching Smart sitting next to Danny Ainge. Like, you know, when you think you're going to get detention in high school, so you kind of kiss ass to the principal or whatever. He was like sitting there thinking, maybe I could pick his ear to see. Because I think he may know. I think no one with Danny Ainge, no one is totally sacred. And I think Smart might be, you're looking at what, year four? Ty, when did we do the draft party?
It's year three. And I thought he played better honestly, and people can call me nuts, I thought he almost played better his rookie year, offensively anyway.
Oh, yeah, I think he did too.
Than he did last year.
Yeah, yeah, I think he did. Here's the other thing with Smart, and Pullen will fight me to the death on this. He loves Marcus Smart, but I think we've not even seen an inkling of what he can do because the dude's been injured so much. It seems
that's
like every
true.
Time, every time
that's
he
true.
Gets, yeah, every time you get an opportunity to see him, you know, try to spread his wings a little bit, the dude gets injured, and it's just he's like tinfoil, and he's got to develop a shot if he's going to make it with the Celtics. He's got to play the point guard.
Well, I'd like to see him finish too, Nick. He's like the worst finisher I've ever seen at the rim for a guy
that
athletic.
With that body and that athleticism, he should be at the line constantly. And instead, he wants to shoot threes.
Yeah.
If I'm Ainge, I'm trying to move Smart right now because I think
and he's got value right now. He's not going to have it.
I think that if you balance out the two outcomes, right? One, we go into the season with Smart, we roll the dice, we assume his value skyrockets, he plays out of his mind, great. I personally don't think that's going to happen. The risk you take then is that if Smart doesn't show improvement this year, and I mean significant improvement,
his stock goes way down.
With 1 year left on a contract, and then you're going to have to pay him an astronomical sum, because I think as we've seen from this off season, if anyone has salary cap, they will offer Marcus Smart $23 million a year. And so do you want to be the one stuck holding that bill, especially when you weigh that against the fact that he does have some value now on the open market. Now, I'm not saying
still
you
still have value
for him and get Butler, but you could package him and get Butler with some other assets.
Well, let me tell you something. He's one guy, Mike Gorman, on one of our shows. I don't know whether it was Celtic Speed or Celtic Stuff Live, but on one of them, said he's the one guy he would never trade.
Unbelievable.
Now, that was mid-season. Now, we know Gorman falls in love with these guys, and I'm in love with Gorman, so he could be in love with whoever he wants.
right.
But the point that I'm trying to make is if Mike Gorman is saying it, other GMs are still saying it. You're right, Tom. I'd get rid of him now while I could, while the value's still there. And let's not forget, Isaiah Thomas just this week made it known the Brinks truck better pull up when it's time for him to sign his next contract. So are we paying Marcus Smart or Isaiah Thomas at that point, if either of them are in green? Tom, we got another caller. We got Stan down in Kansas City. So we're going to let you go. But I got to ask you, man, your voice sounds familiar. Have you called into the show before, Tom?
No, I actually haven't. Normally, I just listen. So no.
Oh well, yeah. Hopefully you'll become a caller. Your voice sounds familiar. Ty, what were you going to say?
No, I said, is there a serious drop off if you trade Marcus Smart? Are the Celtics going to be that much worse with somebody like Terry Rozier in the lineup? I don't think so.
Again, thanks to Tom for calling in. I couldn't agree more, Ty. I think right now, is there a serious drop off? Well, maybe. If Rozier played so well against Atlanta
in the
spurts that he played. And now, I mean, again, summer league is summer league, but seeing what he's doing there, Danny Ainge said in training camp through summer league, the number one training camp, listen, in summer off season from day one, he's been the best player on the roster. I think he is – I don't think there's that big of a drop-off. I don't know, though, because, again, Smart has not had the opportunity to really show what he could do in an extended period of time.
He's such an offensive liability.
But he is a clutch guy. He plays good in key situations. I don't know. Ty, I'm with you on this. You know, I guess I'm just
disappointed. I had such high hopes, and I thought, boy, he was just awful against Atlanta, and he didn't play well during the regular season. And I couldn't agree more with what Tom said in the previous phone call, which is, you know, his value is at its highest now. And if he has another shitty season, then what are you going to get?
I agree. I agree completely. I mean, and here's the other thing too, the one thing going maybe against him in his favor, he had a horrible stretch shooting the ball, but he also took fan grief like a pro. He never acted like a jackass like we know a guy like Rondo would have. You know what I mean? So I don't know. He seems to have good character. I'm trying to talk the upside. I think there is a lot of upside with him, but I'm with you, man. I package him in a trade in a second before I move Isaiah Thomas.
By the way, I want to throw this out too. We've been talking about the Mannix report that came out this hour.
Yeah.
Kevin Love is in that report as well.
And he was mentioned in the Devaney article this morning as well. Regardless of the championship, the Clippers or the Cavs would probably still consider moving Love. I before we go to Stan in Kansas, are you willing to give Love a shot? I mean, maybe at at a reduced value, though, because, I mean, no matter what, feel horrible for him or not, his stock dropped drastically.
Oh, big time. So you should be able – I would love to have Kevin, no pun intended, him in green. I would. I still think he's got great ability. Celtics need offensive rebounding. That's what the man does.
And they need perimeter shooting.
Yes, and he can supply that as well.
And
right.
They need to stretch the floor, and he can stretch the floor. I mean,
not a great defensive player.
Not a good defensive, but Horford could definitely make up for that in many ways.
Sure.
And you know, we know Doc Rivers was in love with Kevin Love.
He was. Well, especially when he was young in Minnesota, I thought the guy was going to be the best player in the league. I'm serious.
I did
too.
I just thought he was so damn good. And you know what? Potentially it was that it's just Cleveland was not working in his favor. You know what I'm saying?
Isn't that amazing?
If he comes to Boston, he's definitely going back to the Minnesota style of play.
And he'll
There's
be
no
beloved
question.
Too, by the way.
Oh,
the fans
of
go
course.
Crazy
oh,
over him. The thing is, Nick, let's think about just 2 years ago. This guy was the most pursued free agent out there, right? Well, no, they acquired him in a trade, of course. And now to see a guy just fall off the cliff statistically in the NBA Finals, you'd be hard-pressed to find a player of that caliber that had that lame of an NBA Finals, right? We'd have to go back through history to find out an all-star that had that crappy of an NBA. I mean, he was like non-existent.
What do you think the problem is in Cleveland?
I don't think he fits in. I just don't. I just don't think he fits in the mix.
I mean,
he disappears at times.
Well, there's that talk of him playing the disappearing act in big moments, but you know, people have short-term memory, and I know it's sacrilegious to say now in Boston, but KG had that reputation too of disappearing
in big
situations, and when he came to Boston, that all changed. And he had his moments in Minnesota, but for the most part, he was talked a lot about disappearing in big moments.
How crazy are we, Nick, here? We're like, do we want Kevin Love or not? Could you imagine a year ago if we said, next year we'll have Kevin Love and Al Horford in the starting lineup?
It is a tribute, right? It's a tribute to Doc. I keep going there. It's a tribute to Danny. It's a tribute to Wick. It's a tribute to Brad. And it's a credit to you, Ty, because, I was one of those guys flipping out. I was a cliff jumper a couple of years ago.
You got
ago.
It. You Rome isn't built in a day, but if the guys didn't do it almost in a day.
Oh, my God. I mean, I've never seen a rebuild quite this fast. And, again, Doc Rivers comes up looking – and I love Doc. You know that.
I know you do.
He comes up looking like a jackass in this.
I was going to ask you this, Dick, because I know you're a Doc fan, and we've got a caller waiting. We'll get to him just in a second. But I've been thinking about this day after day because I was a Doc Rivers fan. He's the only coach that ever made me cry just listening to one of his speeches.
Right.
Brings me to tears, but
me too.
The fact that he wanted to get out of town, he wanted to get the hell out of Dodge, that whole game that was played when he left.
Mm-hmm.
You reap what you sow. Had he stuck it out with Danny,
oh my goodness,
he wanted things would have worked out, and you suck for a year or two, right? So what?
Danny's
got a track record of developing teams and making them successful and making the right move. So go ahead.
Here's the thing. He could have stayed in Boston and been on a mantle, not alongside, but right underneath Red Auerbach.
Right there.
But
certainly
above Tommy Heinsohn, certainly above Casey Jones. And I'm talking strictly coaching. Bill, absolutely above Bill Fitch. He would be number two on the Celtics all-time coaching list, maybe with only one championship, you know? But here's the thing, though, too. Ty, in order for Doc to have left and Danny to have brought in Brad Stevens as quickly as he did, let's not pretend Danny isn't a snake, because you know Danny was wheeling and dealing behind the scenes.
Yeah, he had
Doc
Brad
could have got
mind.
Wind of that. We don't.
We don't
he had
know.
Brad in mind and knowing. I remember sitting at TGI Fridays. Shame on me for going to a chain restaurant, being a former restaurateur, but sitting at TGI Fridays. drinking a scotch. My alert goes off. Brad Stevens, I texted you and said, who the hell is Brad Stevens? You said, oh, my God. And my next response was, who is he?
Do you remember how excited I was?
Oh, my God, you were so excited. And I think what frustrated me about Brad initially was he was so much of a Danny clone. But now he's not Doc.
He's not emotional.
He's not Doc at all. I mean, and he's so young. But yeah, you look at Doc now. I mean, it's irony. Three seasons later, the Celtics are on the cusp of contending while Doc Rivers is on the cusp of rebuilding.
Rebuilding
the absolute thing
with
he didn't
the Warriors with a team that had the best record in the history NBA in your conference.
Right next door. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And now you're talking about trading your All-Stars and Chris Paul and Blake Griffin. Yeah. Last year they had the soap opera with Griffin because of the fight he got into.
Yep.
So I just wonder sometimes, but of course Doc has control of that team too. And he works for Steve Ballmer's a great owner too. He'll do whatever's necessary to make the Clippers successful.
I don't know many coaches that have succeeded long term being the Rick Pitino type throne, where you're the coach, you're the GM, you're the operations.
That's a lot of work, man.
That's a lot of work. And you know, Doc's talents, I think, are manipulating personalities and motivating and just being a character. I mean, he's a stand-up guy.
Stubborn.
I don't think he's stubborn. I don't think he's a very good GM.
No.
I mean, he's not a good GM. And here he is out there kind of – you want to talk about dropping stock.
Well,
Doc left – the Boston Celtics is one of the top three coaches in the NBA. Where's he at now?
And I also think he tarnished his place in history the way
And
think about it. Last year, he goes out and acquires Jeff Green, who was basically a rental player for what reason? They got knocked off by the Blazers in the playoffs quickly. Lance Stevenson, it's just not a good situation there. And right now, anyway, you got to wonder what the future holds for them, and especially if they're talking about trading Griffin. Although, like we said, breaking news. This is breaking news, Nick. Mannix did.
Yep.
And Chris Mannix, a very credible source from Yahoo Sports, says Griffin not on the table for the Celtics, Westbrook not on the table for the Celtics, but Butler, Okafor, and Kevin Love all in play, possibly by this weekend. That's the big news.
Can they swing a Kevin Love and a Butler or an Okafor and a Butler?
Could you imagine that? By this
weekend,
Al Horford, Kevin Love.
Well, and Butler. I mean, here's the thing.
Do they have the money to do that? I don't think they do.
Well,
do they?
If they cleaned out the entire – first of all, I don't know. You know, Kevin Love, again, I don't know what his contract is. Is he a max guy right now? He probably is.
He's got to be.
He's got to be. I mean, here's the thing. If they cleaned out the entire roster, they could have brought both Griffin and – Westbrook here and re-signed them. That said, what are you doing? You're cleaning out your whole roster. But they did that for KG too, and then let all the pieces come together in August and September and went over the luxury tax. So who the hell knows? Can they bring both? I don't know. Do they need both? No, I don't think so. I think you bring Love and you get that. You get the perimeter shooting, and you also get the rebounding you're losing with Sully going.
And I think you'll get a more engaged Kevin Love. He seems the most disinterested person I've ever seen in an NBA Finals.
It's sad, isn't it? Remember last summer, our traffic was through the roof, podcasts were through the roof, all about Kevin Love, and now nobody talks about it.
No one, because the guy put up such paltry numbers in the NBA Finals. It's not really his fault, I don't think, to a certain degree.
I don't know. You know, I don't know. You don't know what goes on in locker rooms, as a lot of Celtics fans found out once Rajon Rondo left. There was things going on in the locker room here that weren't so pretty. Let's go to Stan in Kansas. Wants to talk Celtics. Stan, you're live. CLNS Radio, leading online provider of audio-visual coverage for the Boston Celtics. What is on your mind? All the way in Kansas.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Sorry for hanging on the line there so long. I just wanted to talk about Doc a bit because I do wonder sometimes if he regrets how things went down.
Yeah. No problem at all. I love your show. I just wanted I wanted to bring up something I think you guys may have touched on a little before. I was thinking, so basketball is a sport generally played by two teams of five players on a rectangular court. The objective is to shoot a ball through a hoop 18 inches in diameter, 10 feet high, mounted to a backboard at each end. a team can score a field goal by shooting the ball through the basket during regular play. A field goal scores 3 points for the shooting team.
I feel like I'm in gym class.
Behind the point line and 2 points a shot.
Here's the thing, Ty. The dude, Stan from Kansas, waited 18 minutes on hold.
That's brutal.
That.
Yeah, who's
18
the fool?
Minutes. I mean, who's the idiot here? Nick wants to come back on now, and obviously he has something to say about that.
Stan, buddy. Stan, you can call back anytime. I'll
Stan,
abuse you.
That, I loved it. It was great. You waited 18 minutes.
Great.
That's loyalty. He probably still thinks he's on the air and is still giving us all the rules of basketball. Nick, you're back on the air, and then we're going to wrap this. What's going on?
I wanted to, like, hear what the point was of that. I thought he was going to get to something revelatory,
here's,
like some great, you know what I'm saying, epiphany, and you just cut him right off. You know,
guys,
I was like waiting for that to go.
No, here's what I thought. I got into an argument with a guy the other night who said that Danny Ainge doesn't draft shooters, and I thought Stan was actually that guy making the point the objective of the game is to get the ball in the hoop, and then I was going to come back with well, you don't win 48 games by not being able to score. So anyway, continue, Nick.
Simple.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Nick, go ahead. What, Jimmy Butler?
No, I just much prefer the Jimmy Butler, and I agree with I lost track of who I was just listening kind of casually. Who was mentioning how young Jahlil Okafor is and how he could be coached up with our coaching staff?
That was me.
Who's you? Is that Pat?
That's Ty.
Ty, I'm sorry, but I thought it was Patrick Gilroy on the line. I'm sorry, got lost. Anyway, I'm glad we agree on that, because I think Jahlil Okafor, he averaged, I think, you know, close to a steal and did average a block or somewhere, you know, around a block a game. He has, you know, in comparing him to, who is somebody compared him to, like Al Jefferson, I think he's a little bit more agile and
a little bit more
fleet of foot than Al Jefferson, and I think that's what we need. So I think that he would be a decent and especially cheap player right now, because he's only on the second year of his rookie contract, to bring in compared to, you know, going all out for Westbrook, who I just really don't think fits with his, you know, 40%, you know,
field goal
percentage. And fantastic. We're like on the same page with everything. Blake Griffin, I mean, he's a nice player. You don't get players like him, you know, that often. But, I mean, if you can't get a guarantee from him, you can't get anything like
that. Your point is you would prefer Butler or Okafor to Westbrook or Griffin. Is that what you're trying
to
say?
Absolutely. And the only thing I think the disagreement is Kevin Love. I don't like Kevin Love all that much, but I mean, if you're going to make, you know, a splash, I think he's as big a splash as, you know, anything, and I think his production would absolutely grow up with the Celtics.
Isn't that
Nick?
Isn't that funny how we were talking about Kevin Love 24/7 just a couple years ago, and even last year?
I went wrong, but maybe
he's the invisible man.
We were having conference calls between the ownership team here, what we're going to do with if Love comes to Boston, how we're going to do coverage. It was that big. And now, like you just said, he's the invisible man. And I guess my question to you is, Nick, and then we'll let you go. Would you, and make this, you know, the short version of the Nick answer. Would you prefer Okafor or Love? And I have a follow-up question. So just tell me who, don't tell me why.
Okafor.
Okay, how many – Okafor, okay. So how many – where does that put – I expected you to say Love. Where does that put the Celtics in contention next year? Does that make them an Eastern Conference Finals team automatically? Are they going to – you know, in the Eastern Conference, where do they land by adding an Okafor?
Because I think they're on the precipice right now. I think depending on how things pan, if Terry Rozier can continue to play this way, you know, it can actually be a contributor as a backup point guard. If, you know, Hunter can actually hit the open shots, he still has a problem hitting the contended shots, but he's been hitting open shots. If some of these, you know, second year players take a step, if Marcus Smart even takes a small step on offense and can hit, you know, 34-35% from, you know, three instead of whatever you're hitting. You know
basically
what I mean? Like,
if all the stars align.
These are small stars. This isn't like, you know, we're asking to move mountains. These are like minor things that you expect players to, you know, minor steps that you expect, you know, second year and third year players to take. Do you expect them to remain, you know, stagnant? I expect them to step up. So Okafor, I think, would absolutely.
Okafor, Love, or
Butler.
Oh, Butler, absolutely. Obviously. I think Butler is a guy, and I know that he came into the league a little bit late. The knock on him was that it took him a little while to get started, and we may be seeing his peak right now, but his peak is good enough to me because he's an awesome two-way player, and he's explosive and athletic as well.
So guys, I got a question for you as we wrap up here. What Celtics on the roster now will not be on the team opening day, or opening night, rather?
For me, I hope it's Avery. I really think that Avery Bradley
Tyler Zeller.
Tyler Zeller, I think that's a given.
I can't stand when he picks on Avery Bradley. Tyler Zeller is not going to be on the roster. Sam says in our mailbag, Okafor and Horford sounds like a very slow front court. Same goes if we got Love. Let's get a star wing or guard. He's looking at Butler or Westbrook. Nick, we're going to wrap it up, baby. So I'll talk to you over in the Facebook group, man. Thanks for tuning in, as always.
So, thank you.
Thanks, man. Ty, I got to say it, you know, as I'm talking to you, I'm watching the switchboard, I'm watching Twitter, and then over my head is this tragic stuff going on again in France.
Yeah, I know.
And
I can barely watch.
I mean, 100 people, 75 people dead, 50 injured. I don't think they're calling it terrorism yet. They're just calling it an attack. We are very fortunate today to be able to be sitting on the internet and talking about basketball.
Yeah,
and,
it is a great diversion. It is a
it
great
is a
diversion
great
from
diversion.
All the crap that's going on right now in this country, and it's just a nice way to compartmentalize.
Compartmentalize, yeah.
Yeah, that's a tough one for me. I'm running on very little sleep, but as we wrap up, Nick, so the big news, we start this show tonight with all the Blake Griffin rumors, Russell Westbrook, and immediately the air gets taken out of those sails by not only a reporter from the Orange County Register who said that the trade is nonsense, but that could be bullshit too, but Chris Mannix, who is a great source from Yahoo Sports, saying there's not going to be a Westbrook deal. There's certainly not going to be a Griffin deal, but Butler, Okafor, and Kevin Love are on the table, and a trade could happen by this weekend.
Unbelievable.
Now, what's the rush, though? That's the thing. That's what I've been trying to figure out. We're only in July. So what is the rush?
I think, first of all, I think that every team in the league that has any kind of availability on their cap or roster knows that the Celtics are a key destination, not just because they have money, but because they're a team on the rise. So I think that kind of speeds everything up a little bit. I keep going back to 07, but the KG deal happened, you know, if Okafor, Love, Westbrook, Griffin, Butler, any or all of the above occur on Sunday, well, it will have been a week and a half earlier than when KG came together. Now you got a lot to put together. You want to get your team
that's true
set, I'd say, because you're going.
You make a very good
Boston
point.
Boston went to Rome. You know, Boston. The Celtics went to Rome in 07.
That
happened.
Buto,
in what?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Where no,
Buto
you're right.
Born.
Yeah. Exactly. The fall. What was it? September of 2007.
I want to say late August or early September.
Yeah.
Not
I think you're
long.
Right.
I know. KG was traded for, and the Celtics core, the starting five at least, were back in Waltham practicing together out in LA. They were just traveling, just practicing on their own together. So there was so much urgency to win because those guys were at that point in their career. I think the rush is probably because teams are rushing it up to get ahead of this Danny Ainge.
You're probably right. So I, of course, I'd love to see something happen this weekend. Could you imagine? Oh my God, this place would go nuts.
Just not Friday night.
Friday.
Yeah.
It'd
be Saturday at some point. Saturday morning would be tremendous.
Other bit of news I saw for the Celtics: they might be looking at Chad Budinger, who played for the Suns last year and also the Pacers. He played for the Pacers. He also had a great start to his career, I thought, in Houston, and he's been injured quite a bit, but a solid three-point shooter throughout his career.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something
they need
Celtics
that.
Definitely need. So keep an eye out on that as well. But that's the only bit of news. And congrats to Sully, too, by the way. I know people like to bash him. I'd just like to end the show with just thanking Sully for his service for 4 years in Boston. I know it was up and down, but I hope he finds great success and a new start in Toronto. And I see where Dwayne Casey might start him.
Yeah, well, you know, I wish Sully the best. I'm glad he's gone. It's not a knock on his weight or his personality or his looks or anything else. I'm just I think it was time to move on, but and I think Sully thought it was time to move on too. I congratulate him, although the contract was pittance in this offseason. I don't even know what you what would that contract be considered?
What, $6 million? Yeah,
oh, 4.4, I think 4.4.
It's amazing.
Let's go back to Rondo for a minute. What he got $6 million? I think. Think about that. They
was
were talking 10? Max.
Yeah,
it might have been 10. They were talking max deal too. He wanted last year to be his max year. I mean, not even the Kings wanted him.
He led the league in assists, right? I believe he led the league in assists. Yeah. He put on a great show up in Sacramento.
Westbrook was leading triple doubles. Rondo led the league in assists.
And when we're talking triple doubles, we're not talking 10-10-10 by Westbrook. We're talking like huge numbers.
Huge numbers.
I started to lose respect with the triple-double with Rondo in the Celtics' really crappy season, threw up a triple-double against the Sixers, and we lost by 15 or something like that.
Well, and I think that it also gives at least this Celtics fan, I think you too, when people mention triple-double, we go, ugh. It was great because that game was horrible. It was awful.
Can I tell you, I've been asked, Nick, why I soured on Rajon Rondo, and nobody was a bigger fan in 2010. I thought he was amazing. Mm-hmm. It was the game where he wanted to go back in when the Celtics had no chance to win, so he could continue
to keep
his
record going.
Streak.
Yep.
And I just said, it's all about you, buddy, isn't it? It's all about you. So I do wish him well, and I hope he has great success.
You remember my parting day with Rajon Rondo the day I no longer wanted to even deal with him or have him in green anymore. Do you remember
the Red Bull cart?
That 2009 baby showed up for game seven at I think it was game six actually. The Celtics were down 3-2. It was at TD Garden. Leader of the team, no KG, just got done, putting up a record series against the Bulls, and shows up the next series in a series clinching game late in a Red Bull car. I had been bitching about him all season long, and that was the final straw for me. And I took beatings, Ty. Beatings, as you know.
Yeah, I'm sure you did.
For
years, sure
hate mail I used to get. But, Ty, this was a lot of fun tonight, man. Anytime I could get on. We get on podcasts every single week on Beats and Eats. Check out our show. You can download our mobile app for free, beatsandeats.net/iOS free or beatsandeats.net/Android. We're on iTunes. We're on Stitcher. But, Ty, we rarely get to get on these airwaves anymore, especially in a live setting, talk with the fans, BS with each other about our Boston Celtics. This was a blast. I was looking forward to it all day long.
Yeah, very impromptu, thrown together, and we even had breaking news during the time we went on the air.
And that was fun, man. We just need that breaking news noise.
Yeah, we should get the sounder. Yeah. Why don't you edit that in when you upload this?
I will. Speaking of, this show can be found on iTunes. Rate, subscribe, review to the Celtics postgame show on iTunes. You can also find us on CLNS Radio SoundCloud page. Of course, download the CLNS Radio mobile app. Celtics Stuff Live will be back on Monday. Celtics Beat, I'm hosting this week. We already have an interview in the bag with Brian Robb from Celtics Hub. That will be coming out on Saturday. Any breaking news on the trade front, I will have you covered on Celtics Beat. Ty Ray at Coug88. This was fun. I'm at CLNS_Nick. And, dude, let's get the hell out of here.
Goodbye.
The virtual studio is now closed.
Is closed.
Yeah. Good night, buddy.